Good morning and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us this morning for this live broadcast. I hope that you brought your Bible today to where you're gathering for this, and that you would turn now for our scripture to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 20. Today we're going to be doing part two of Appearances of the Risen Christ. Appearances of the Risen Christ. Last week, two weeks ago, on Easter Sunday, we had part one, and we saw the first five appearances of the risen Savior on that very first Easter morning, or first Easter day. And now we're going to be looking at five more appearances of the risen Savior before his ascension back to heaven. And so we're looking forward to that. As we look at the scripture here in John 20, please notice verse 26, John chapter 20, verse 26. We'll read down through verse 29. The Bible says, "And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Blessed are they which have not seen, and yet have believed." May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for your love to us. Thank you for a day to sing praise to your name. Thank you for a day to draw near to you, to open your word. And I thank you for the opportunities we have, even this during this social distancing time due to the virus. Thank you for the opportunities of the technology that we have to be able to stay in touch and to be able to broadcast your word even this morning. I pray that it would bless hearts, that each one tuned in, both our church family here at Victory Baptist, as well as others joining around, even out of state. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We ask for your blessing on this time. We ask that you would challenge our hearts, that you would encourage us, and that you would draw us nearer to you most of all. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, the disciples had to make some hard decisions in those times 2,000 years ago, when Jesus for 3.5 years had been with them, and now everything had changed. And even though now that he was risen, everything was still quite different. They weren't able to spend the days as they used to with Jesus. It was much different. It was exciting, but as we can see in the scripture we read, it was a whole week, the Bible indicates, a whole week, and they had not seen Jesus. That's challenging, and the disciples were going through a lot of emotional disturbance in their lives, and it was a hard time. And they were struggling sometimes with unbelief. You know, is it real? Did what we see last week, did Christ really rise? And some of them were struggling. Thomas hadn't seen them, and we're going to look at that scripture here in a moment, but he hadn't seen Jesus on that first resurrection day, and he was kind of like, I'm not going to believe unless I can see. 1 week later, on the first day of the week, Jesus gave him the opportunity to touch and see the Lord Jesus, the risen Christ, and he did believe, and Thomas did go on to serve the Lord. And so I trust that you and I, even though we can't see with our eyes or touch with our fingers his nail prints and his risen body. But you know what? We can believe and we can know Christ by faith. And we can overcome the challenges in our life by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take our Bibles once again this morning. We have read from John chapter 20 this morning. And as we continue in the series here, Appearances of the Risen Christ. Appearances of the Risen Christ. Just before we get into the message, we're gonna pray once again and seek God's power, seek God's guidance in this, that He would open our hearts, that He would stir faith in our spirits. So let's do that. And I'll just remind you that if you do have a prayer request, feel free to, if it's something appropriate, you can put it right on that live chat. Or if it's something more private, you can contact us here at Victory Baptist Church. Either on our website, I guess, would be our contact information, any way that you'd like to get in touch with us. All right. I know that many of you already have my contact information, and so I'm thankful for that. And if there's any needs, please let us know so we can pray about those and see what we can do to be a blessing as well. All right, so let's pray. Father, I thank you for your holy word. I pray that you'd open our eyes to your truth here this morning. We know that the Spirit of God works through the Word of God to grow our faith. Lord, we do ask that you would meet with us. We know that where two or three are gathered in your name, you are there in the midst. And in this unique way, we have assembled this way. And Lord, you are here. You can work, whether it's in someone's living room there on their own couch, as they give their attention to you. Lord, I know that you are at work. May the presence of God be real in each of our homes, in each of our respective places. And Lord, I pray that you'd lift burdens, lift spirits this morning. I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would encourage and challenge us. Lord, we do pray for our leadership in this nation, for our president and vice president and others on his staff and the governors across this land, around these states. Lord, I just pray that you would give each of them wisdom, help them to seek wise counsel. And I pray that you would heal our land, Lord. We certainly have sinned against you in so many ways that we have disregarded your laws. We have disregarded life, human life, in so many ways as well. And Lord, please cleanse this nation of our sin. And I thank you for the work you're doing, how many that you're drawing near to yourself. And so many are more in tune with your word and with your spirit in these days. Lord, we know that you're at work. You will fulfill your promises. And one day you will return. This same Jesus, which was taken up 2,000 years ago, will indeed return and to catch his own away. Lord, I look for that day. Lord, we pray that you would continue your work in our hearts and lives here today. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 20, Appearances of the Risen Christ. As we read here in verse 26, we saw that it was 8 days, the Bible says here, 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas. So this is the first day of the week once again, Sunday, if you will, the Lord's Day. And Jesus had appeared in the evening back in verse 19 of John 20. He had appeared in the evening there to the disciples gathered together. Thomas wasn't there at that time, but the other disciples were there, and the Lord Jesus appeared to them behind closed doors. Notice verse 19. It says, then the same day, that's that first resurrection day, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Jesus brings peace to these troubled hearts. The disciples were in a challenging time, and fear had gripped them. They were concerned that the Jews would come for them next. And so here they are huddled together behind closed doors, and the Lord Jesus comes into their midst, and he brings peace. You know, I'll tell you, friend, when Jesus comes, he brings peace. He brings peace. Jesus brings peace. We can trust the Lord Jesus. Isn't that amazing how he comes to us? And notice how he came to them behind closed doors. And then again in verse 26, after 8 days, again his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. I'll tell you a couple of things here. We get a glimpse here of what our resurrected body would be like. As we examine the Lord Jesus and how he was able to enter locked doors, how that wasn't an issue for him. The door is shut, the door is locked. Jesus was able to be there in the midst. We get a very interesting glimpse of what our resurrected bodies will be like, and the abilities for going places and not being hindered. What an awesome thought that is. And so the Lord Jesus here appearing to them. And I want to go over to 1 Corinthians 15 to see a little bit of what the scripture says about this new body that you and I will be getting one day when we are raised, when this very body is raised in newness of life. 1 Corinthians 15, if you'll turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to begin with verse 42. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42. The Bible says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Oh, don't you long for that day when this very body, this flesh will be raised, sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. And verse 44, it is sown a natural body. Of course, sown means to be planted. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And then down, I'll read a few more verses in verse 48, beginning verse 48. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And now notice verse 49. As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. We shall bear the image of the heavenly. Oh, friend, there's a better body coming. One that cannot get sick. One that cannot die. One that cannot be injured. Oh, there's a better body coming that's going to be better suited for this wonderful celestial world that God has gone to prepare for us. And so some awesome thoughts there that we can consider. Also, let's read a few more verses. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Speaking of death here, we shall not all die. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Speaking of the believer. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Oh, my friend, the benefits of knowing Jesus as your Savior. I'll tell you, what God has planned is out of this world. It is out of this world. It is glorious. It is wonderful. And so even in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, we see a glimpse of the glorious body we will have in our resurrected state. I want you to also consider, as we think about this appearance here of the risen Christ on that second Sunday after the resurrection, 8 days later, in verse 26, we can see the Lord again coming to his disciples on the first day of the week. And you know, the church down through the centuries, even beginning in the first century, the second century, those early years there, right after the resurrection, the believers started meeting on the first day of the week. Now, they certainly met on other days. That's clear. In fact, in the book of Acts, sometimes it says they broke bread together daily, from house to house, right? But the first day of the week, also in the Bible, called the Lord's Day, is the day on which the church began meeting for the teaching of the word, for the breaking of bread, for the fellowship there, for the worship of the Lord, and forgiving as well. Consider some of these scriptures. First of all, in the book of Revelation, I'll just share these from Revelation chapter 1. And here's John, who has been banished to the island of Patmos because of his testimony for Jesus. He was basically put there in isolation because of his testimony. And as he was there all alone, he writes in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10 and says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And of course, he heard unspeakable things and he saw the Lord Jesus in amazing glory there in Revelation chapter 1. And then, of course, he received the revelation that is recorded there by the Holy Spirit. And so he says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." On the Lord's day. The early church it referred to the Lord's day, or referred to Sunday as the Lord's day, the first day of the week. And so that is why we meet on Sunday. It's because of God's example of and the early church and the scripture. So notice also, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians about giving, when he wrote to them in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2, he said, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store." Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. Paul talking about giving and talking about giving to the Lord's work and to needy believers on the first day of the week. All right, and then also in Acts 20 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." And so here's Paul preaching and teaching the gathering of the disciples on the first day of the week. And so the testimony from the Word of God, this is not exhaustive by any means of why we meet on Sunday, but there's just a few passages. And Jesus' example here of appearing to his disciples on the first day of the week, I believe, is just some of the seeds of that prescription that God gives, all right? Also, the testimony from history, from those early centuries, is clear, that believers met particularly on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, for worship. Let's talk about Thomas for a moment. Verse 24. Here we're still in John 20, verse 24. "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. That's the first time when he came to that assembly behind the closed doors. But then on that next time, he was there. Verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Thomas, also known as Doubting Thomas, was struggling here. And you know what? Maybe there's been a time in your life, or maybe even now, when you've struggled in your faith. When you thought, you know, is Jesus really real? Is he really worth living for? I mean, there's so many other things I could do with my life. Should I really serve him and give him my attention and trust him and obey, like we sang? Sometimes we don't so much say, you know, I'm not going to serve Jesus, but by the way we live our life, we demonstrate he's not important. I don't really believe him. I actually believe all the other things that the world has to offer. Who do you believe? You know, Thomas was struggling in his faith, but Jesus gave Thomas opportunity to see and believe. And I believe that as you seek the Lord to grow your faith, if you want him to renew, to strengthen your faith, there's no better thing to do than to get into God's Word and to be under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Start reading your Bible again. Start praying again. God will grow your faith. God will draw you near. Don't be faithless, but believing. Notice what Thomas got to do here. Jesus, on that second Sunday after the resurrection, he, in verse 27, says to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Be not faithless, Jesus says, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus gives a special blessing to those who believe, even though they don't see. And you know, that's the walk of faith. Trusting God. Trusting the promises of the Scripture to guide our lives, to teach our children, to do the will of God. We must trust and obey. Trust and obey. You know, obedience is the fruit of trust. If we trust what God says, we will respond accordingly. If we distrust, it will also be evident in our disobedience, in our lack of attention to what he has said. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Trust God. Draw near to him. And so we can see that. All right, this is the sixth appearance of the risen Savior. 1 week later, a whole week went by with, it seems, no appearance of that risen Savior. And Jesus comes with peace and to encourage his disciples. Then we're going to find another exciting time here, and it's right in the book of John, chapter 21, where Jesus again appears to his disciples. In this case, it's seven of them. And notice what the scripture says here in John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Jesus comes here. Notice, first of all, the disciples go out fishing. Verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. First of all, the Sea of Tiberias is also the same as the Sea of Galilee. They're both by those two different names. And so, same body of water. And so they went out on this very familiar sea where they had been. Remember, many of the disciples were fishermen. That was their livelihood 3.5-4 years ago, right? when before Jesus came on the scene teaching and preaching and working miracles, they were fishermen. They had businesses. I mean, they didn't just go casually out, you know, in the evening to catch a couple of fish just for recreation. No, these men, that was their business. I mean, they lived, they put bread on their table, literally, by catching fish. And so this had been their life. And I kind of see here during this very turbulent time, this very unique situation, that the disciples kind of, some of them are like, you know what? I don't know what to do. They're restless. They haven't seen Jesus now again for a few days and not sure exactly how long, but there's a lot they were thinking on. And Peter says here in verse 3, he says unto them, I go a fishing. He's like, I don't know, guys, what you're going to do, but I'm going to go out fishing. Let's get the boat. Let's go out fishing. And six other guys go along. And so seven of them, verse 2 records, went out fishing here. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. Middle of verse 3. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night, listen carefully, end of verse 3. And that night they caught, help me now, nothing. Nothing. So, sounds like when I go fishing. But you know what? This night that they went out fishing, it wasn't just the night like went fishing last evening. They fished all night. This was serious. I mean, they had gone all night, literally, to go fishing. Notice what verse 4 says. It makes it very clear. But when the morning was now come, I mean, they spent the night on the boat, fishing all night. But in the morning, the Bible says Jesus stood on the shore. Wow. Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. They were approximately 100 yards or so, maybe out. It indicates down in verse 8 at one point there. So they were close enough to see that somebody was on the shore, but it wasn't clear who it was. And so notice here, in verse 5, then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered, no. Think about that. The Lord Jesus on the beach side there, on the seaside, he calls out, you know, hey, did you guys catch anything? You know, you got any meat? No, we don't have anything. And he said unto them, verse 6, cast the net on the right side of the boat. And they did. Notice what it says. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Wow. First of all, I'd like to say, have you ever been in a place like these disciples were, where you had toiled all night, where you had done your level best, where you had given it everything you had and had taken nothing? It was just a flop. It was just a pit. You know what? Jesus knows about the pits that you and I have been in or are in. And Jesus cares. And Jesus comes. Jesus speaks to us. Jesus seeks to get our attention. And to these disciples who had taken nothing, who had toiled and given it their best, Jesus comes. He calls and says, How are you doing? Do you have any meat? And then he directs them where to find meat. You know what? Jesus can always direct you where to find. Jesus always brings what we need. Not only did he direct them where to find the fish, which of course, miraculously, he provided this for them, and they caught such a huge number of fishes. We'll find out later the exact count. And so they cast it in, verse 6, and middle of it, they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Peter swims to the seashore. He couldn't wait. He wasn't concerned about the fish. He realized it's the Lord. John says, it's the Lord. Peter jumps in the water. He grabbed his fisher's coat. Now, it says here that Peter was naked. The word naked in the Bible doesn't necessarily mean what sometimes we think it does today as naked, but means it doesn't have a sufficient amount of clothes on. It didn't mean that he didn't have any, but that he grabbed his coat and was more properly attired there. And so he swims in the shore to see Jesus. And you know what? The others bring in, dragging that big net full of fish, verse 8, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. You know, when we've come to the end of ourselves, when we've toiled all night and taken nothing, when it's just dry, and when life is just the pits. I'll tell you what, our help is in Jesus. It really is. Our help is in Jesus. We can come to him. And I notice here, he has what we need already prepared. Notice verse 9. When they come to the shore, they find a fire of coals. Not just a fire of coals. You see, Jesus had it all prepared. And they apparently didn't see that fire earlier. I don't know whether Jesus just worked a miracle and had a coal fire right away that was perfect for cooking. You see, Jesus can do that. He doesn't need time. He doesn't need all those. He could just, boom, make the fire there happen and already be a burnt down coals, perfect for cooking. And so he was prepared. He also has fish. Did Jesus need to get a fishing pole or a fishing net and catch some fish earlier? I doubt it. He controls the wind and the waves. He controls the fish in the sea. If they listen, if he calls them. And so he provided, he had the fish cooking there, and he also had bread. You know what? They toiled all night. They took nothing. But Jesus had a beautiful fire ready for cooking. He had some nice fish already. And he had some delicious bread, a feast made for these disciples. And so they come here to the shore. And Jesus says to Peter, he says, bring the net with the fish. Verse 10, Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went and drew the net to land full of great fishes, and 153. And for all there was so many, yet was not the net broken. Then Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This was the third time John records that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. John is recording that, particularly his showing to the disciples. Two times behind closed doors on the first day of the week, and then this time being the third in John's account here. And they dined, it says, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Jesus says to Peter, hey, Peter, are you going to do my will? Are you going to trust me and obey? Or are you going to do what you want to do? Are you going to just go back to your life of fishing? Are you going to go back to your livelihood there? Or are you going to serve me? Are you going to follow me, Peter? You know, God gives us the same question. Christian, do you love me more than anything else? Do you love me first? Do you love me best? Do you love me most? Are you going to do my will? Are you going to take care of my sheep, my lambs? He says three times. Jesus asks a very similar question till Peter's a little bit frustrated. He's like, Lord, you know I love you. But Jesus gave Peter the opportunity to vindicate himself. Remember, Peter denied Jesus three times a few weeks earlier. And now Peter gets the opportunity to vindicate his love for the Lord Jesus. And you know what? Peter did love Jesus, and Peter went on to serve Jesus faithfully. Will you? Do you love Jesus more than you put whatever in the these category? Do you love Jesus more than your old life? Do you love Jesus more than your friends? Are you going to follow Jesus even if others do not? Are you going to take care of his little ones? God wants us to serve him and to care. And so on this seventh appearance of the risen Christ, we see Jesus coming to his disciples here out on the sea. What a beautiful time that would have been. Wouldn't you have loved to dine with Jesus there on the seaside with the fish and the bread and the presence of the Lord Jesus? Do you love Jesus? I'll tell you what, he's got what we need. He's got an abundant supply. Will we trust him? In our toil, let's swim to shore and depend on Jesus. Depend on Jesus. Then we come in our scripture to some of the other appearances of the risen Christ. Three more that we'll look at, I believe, if time permits. We're just going to look at them briefly because the Bible doesn't actually say a lot about these other appearances. But let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you will. 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. As the Apostle Paul, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, pens these words, he accounts of some of the appearances of the risen Christ. And let's notice, beginning in verse number 6. Verse number 6, it says, after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Here on this account, many years later, the Apostle Paul accounts of this appearance here, which we're going to call the eighth appearance, I believe, of the risen Christ, where the Bible says he appeared to 500 brethren at once. This was a large gathering to wherein a big group was able to see the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Christ. And so on this time, the Lord showed himself. And as Paul writes, he says, you know what? A lot of these people are still alive and testifying to this reality today. It's not just, Paul is not saying, you know, it's just people who have, who were dead and gone, and they said they saw him, you know. But no, he says, there's people you can interview today, as the apostle writes 1 Corinthians, who saw the risen Christ, not just the disciples, not just those women who were followers of Christ, but a large group, 500, that saw the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have this eighth appearance of the risen Savior in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6. Now, I want you to notice also now verse 7. Verse 7 here. It says, after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. He was seen of James. So this is our ninth appearance. Again, not a lot is said. But this James is likely the half-brother of our Lord, also the writer of the book of James, and here the one who saw the risen Christ. And so Paul accounts of this, that James also had an opportunity to see the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the ninth appearance of the risen Christ. And then it says in verse 7, then all of the apostles, all of the apostles. And I think that probably refers to now his ascension, because that comes to our 10th appearance of the risen Christ, which is when he ascended back to heaven. And I'd like to go to the book of Acts to look at this, because it's recorded there in more detail, Acts and chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. Let's begin with verse 3, if you will. The Bible says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Being seen of them 40 days, or over a period of 40 days. In other words, from the time of Jesus' resurrection to the time he ascended back to heaven was 40 days. And so over that time, I believe we have the account of at least 10 appearances of the risen Savior. And now noticing verse 8, verse 8 here of Acts chapter 1, it says, Jesus speaking to his disciples, he says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So Jesus encourages them to wait for the power to do his work. And after Jesus' ascension, the disciples waited 10 days till the day of Pentecost. And so Jesus, after his resurrection, was there 40 days and then ascended back. They waited another 10 days. And actually, the Holy Spirit came to indwell God's people. And that's recorded here in the book of Acts as well. But talking about his ascension, which, of course, was his last appearance of the risen Savior, and he tells them to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to do his work, to be a witness. And certainly we need his power. I need his power to do his work. Without him, we can do nothing. But with him, we can do all things. Verse 9 of Acts chapter 1, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Coming again. You know what? Jesus is coming again. This same Jesus, those angels said. This same Jesus, he is coming back. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus ascended, but he is coming again. One day he will return to this earth. Oh, the signs of the times are pointing more and more that we are indeed in the last days, and the Lord could return at any time. Will you be ready? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Are we doing his will as a child of his? Are we following him? Are we obeying his directives for our life? What's the priority of your life? Do you get up every day praying and seeking God, reading the scriptures? Or are you getting up every day without the thought of what God's will is for you, without that dependence upon the Lord? Oh, my friend, don't toil in your own self. Depend on Jesus. Let's trust him. Well, we need his strength, and he is giving it to those who seek it. The risen Christ. Jesus is alive. Jesus is well. We can serve him. If you don't know Christ, trust him today. Call on the Lord Jesus Christ. He will save you. He has power to cleanse our sin and heal our lives. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your great power. Thank you for giving us the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the testimony in the scriptures of these resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you for the work you're doing here in our lives 2,000 years later. Lord, with the burdens and cares that many are dealing with today, I pray that you, as they cast their burden on you, that you would sustain them by your grace. Thank you that you've called us to come to you. Those that are heavy laden, Matthew 11 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Lord, I pray that your work would continue in our hearts. Thank you for this time we could have together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.